You know, no matter how long you've been preaching, you always need the Lord every time. Because I can get up and I can say things that'll be of really no value, no spiritual value. But we want the Lord to have His way in the service. And we want to talk tonight. Sometimes we preach about things that we, our experiences and some things that the Lord's given us. I'm certain the Lord has given me this message for this time. But it's one of those messages that I feel like in one sense is that I'm preaching not just to you, I'm preaching to myself. And it's not just something that I feel like you need to know, so I'm giving you some instruction, and if you'll follow my instruction, then you'll get to where you need to be. It's that the Lord is ministering to me as well. Sometimes you feel less qualified to preach some messages than others, and this is one of those less qualified messages. So if you'll pray with me that the Lord would give us what He wants us to have, and I say us, because He's ministering to me as well. We want to talk about today about spiritual depth. And we want to talk about the courage that it takes to get there. Sometimes we look at what other people have gone through. We look at other people that we feel have been some very deep, spiritually deep people in our history and in our presence even. And we thank the Lord for them, but we wonder sometimes how did they get there? It wasn't a simple process. It wasn't a process of that it was just some surface thing, because we realize that these individuals have a spiritual depth, and it inspires us and encourages us to be able to go, Lord, help me to have what they have. And I believe that it's times like these, at revivals that we have like this, that the Lord speaks to us and He gives us encouragement and He gives us courage, you might say, to be able to go a little bit deeper than where we have been before now. Generally speaking, when we go through revivals like this, we don't come out on the opposite end the same way that we went in. We have even either embraced what the Lord has for us, or in some way we put it in a neutral position. We don't want to say that we've rejected it, but we sometimes put it in a neutral position and say, well, you know what He said was good, and how He presented it was good as well, but you know what? I'm really satisfied where I am. Are you satisfied spiritually where you are? I don't care where you are. I don't care how deep you are in the Lord. You should not be completely satisfied with where you are. Now, this is what I mean. I'm not saying that you're not where God wants you to be now, but I want to say that there's a deeper place in the Lord that the Lord wants you to go to. And we are entering into a time in our generation that we're not going to be able to have surface experiences and get by with it. There are going to be persecutions that's coming our way. I heard about it. I live in Texas, and I didn't hear about the situation in Houston. But there are going to be times that we are not going to be able to preach the gospel message in its fullness without having some kind of repercussions from that. There are going to be times, at the rate that we're going, that we're going to go into things and just what we believe in and what we stand for is going to be challenged. And not just out in the world, but it's going to be challenged right among us. And so we're going to have an understanding and knowing, Lord, this is not just head knowledge. This is not just something that was passed down to me and I have kind of a surface knowledge of what the church teaches. I have a surface knowledge of what the Bible teaches about it. And we think that the church basically goes along with what the Bible is. You need to know for yourself that what is being taught is according to Scripture. Not just something that the pastor passed down or something that the old brothers and sisters passed. I say this to our congregation all the time. You need to know it for yourself. When you stand before God, your pastor is not going to stand there for you. He's not going to say, oh, this is a pretty good old fella here, Lord, and you need to just let him go on in. The Lord, you're going to stand there for yourself and how you receive the Word of God and how you apply it to your life. So when we come to these kinds of meetings, what the Lord wants us to do is to get a hold of what He wants us to get a hold of. And then our responsibility is to apply those things to our lives. All right? And if we do that, we'll get to where the Lord wants us to be. Let us turn, if you will, with me, turn to the 13th chapter of Matthew. And I want to begin reading at, 44. Matthew 13, verse 44. Again. The kingdom of heaven is like unto treasure hidden in a field, the which when a man hath found, He hideth, and for joy thereof, he goeth and sell all that he hath, and he buyeth that field. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like unto a merchant man. He's seeking goodly pearls, who, when he hath found one pearl, just one pearl of great price, he went and sold all that he had, and he bought it. Now, it's speaking about the kingdom of heaven, and it says it is like unto a treasure hid in a field. Now, I don't know what kind of treasure this was. I remember as a child, we would get little trinkets and whatnot, and what we would do is we would have treasure hunts, and we would bury them someplace sometimes, and we would have this idea that we were pirates. You know what the story is, and we go and we dig and we find. I don't believe that this is what he was talking about here. I believe here in this passage of scripture, it's talking about something deeper, not just a little bitty thing. It was something that he realized, and I don't believe that it was a treasure that somebody put in a trunk. I believe that there was a vein of gold or something down in the depths of that dirt, and he realized that I need this whole field, and it's worth everything that I have, and I'm willing to sell everything that I've got. What was it like when he went home and he told his wife, perhaps if he was married, that I'm going to sell everything, house, land, everything, and there's a field over there that I've found, there's a treasure in it that I've got to get down to the depths of that treasure, and it's going to take me some time, and I don't need to just have a surface thing. I need to be able to go down and be able to dig it out and get and obtain this treasure and possess it, and it's worth more than anything that we have. And do you know, when we do those kinds of things, no doubt if he had a wife, his wife had something to say about it. Maybe he had to take her back to the treasure and say, listen, I found something, and I was just digging. I was just kind of kicking my foot around, and I was trying to dig around, and all of a sudden I saw this thing in this field, and we have to have this field, and we've got to dig down in it. Have you noticed that the things that are of great value in our nation and in our generation, most of those things have to be mined? All right? Think about, we're from Texas. I'm from Oklahoma, but I live in Texas. And Oklahoma also, one of the things that was in abundance, that has been in abundance in Texas is oil, right? But you've got to go really deep in order to get it. And if you don't think oil is expensive, go to the gas station. And see what the cost of it is. But there, somebody had to dig down deep and pull this up out of the ground. And so what we have to understand, what the Lord wants us to understand, when we look at spiritual blessings, when we look at things that the Lord has done for other, maybe the old time saints and whatnot, and there are deep blessings that they have. Let me tell you what they did. They sold everything that they had, and they bought the field because they realized and understood that this is much greater. The treasure that is in here is much greater than anything that I ever traded in. Saints, we need to understand that that's what the Lord wants you and me to do. Our responsibility is, Lord, help me to see the value and the value of going deep in the Lord and not just being a surface saint. There are too many of us that are surface saints. Lord, help us. There are too many times that when the Lord is trying to get us to dig and digging around us and trying to get us to dig and go a little bit deeper, Lord, I'm really satisfied where I am because I've kind of gotten to a level in my experience. I'm not where I used to be, but I'm not necessarily where you want me to be either. But Lord, help me to not be satisfied where I am. I want to go deeper. I want to have a greater experience with you. I want to love you. And let me tell you what I've learned, the little bit that I learned, the little bit that I can tell you in observation and the things that I've gone through myself. It takes courage to go deep. You know, there are a few mines. There are strip mines. And some of the folks from, I think there's a lot of those coal mines in West Virginia and those kind of places. And there are some strip mines. And basically a strip mine doesn't take a whole lot of courage for a person to go down, and they just basically take the top layer off and they go down and they dig and they get whatever it is that's there, rocks, granite, whatever it is that they want, and it's generally not having to go underground at all. And basically when you can go down and they strip these mines and they get all of the beneficial things out of it, and then, but you can still see the sky, right? So as you know, I could probably work there. I could probably work there and not be afraid that something's going to collapse in on me because I can see the sky, right? But what about when you go down into the coal mines? When you go down a little bit deeper in those places, let me tell you, Now, I know we're talking about spiritual things, but I think that there is this natural application. There's a spiritual application to it. I would be afraid of being a coal miner. You know, they go a mile down in the ground, and it's dark, and they have these lights. I don't know much about it, but they have the lights on and whatnot, and all they go down into the ground. I don't like that. It seems like it would be claustrophobic, doesn't it? So what you would say, they say, man, you can make $1 million. Darrell, you can make $1 million if you go down there and you're staying down there for 2 or 3 years. You can make $1 million. You know what I would probably say? I don't want the $1 million. You can have the money. But you know, there are some people that have the courage to go down there. They can go down there and they can stay down there and it doesn't bother them very much. And I think of it like this in the spiritual sense. You know, some of us are afraid to go down in the Lord. I've heard people say it. I remember in some way saying it myself. You know what? Well, I don't want to get too spiritual, because if I get too spiritual, what's going to happen? The Lord's wanting to, I'm going to be a preacher, and I don't like standing in front of people, and I don't like, you know what? It doesn't really matter, does it? The Lord wants you to be spiritual, and He doesn't want everybody to be a preacher. And so sometimes what we have, we're less courageous than what we ought to be, because we're afraid of what God is going to call us to if we go a little bit deeper. And I'm really satisfied right here. And what we have to learn and what we have to understand is that there is a deeper place in God that He's calling you and He's calling me to. There's a deeper place in the Lord. In order for us to maintain the light that we need in this dark and sinful world, is getting darker and darker, we're going to have to go deeper, and we're going to have to get those treasures, and we're going to have to ask the Lord, Lord, help me to be able to stand when I need to stand. Help me to realize the value of going deep. You know what? If we don't understand the value of what's down there, we're not going to go down there. The reason they pay those men so many thousands of dollars and whatever they pay them, and as far as I'm concerned, they don't pay them enough. But the reason that they are willing to pay them is because they know the value of what they're going to bring out of that place. Not only is it value, it's needed. Copper mines, coal mines, silver mines, gold mines, diamonds. All of these things are necessary. You know, one of the interesting things in doing some research, if you look at the Roman, back in the day when the Roman government would seize a country, or what they take over, one of the things that they would take over is the mines. And one of the things that they learned is that if they took over the mines, then it increased their riches. And so they controlled all of it. So as many places as they would go and they would conquer, the first thing that they would do is they would take over the mines, and they would utilize them for their own benefit. Now, here's what I wonder sometimes. I wonder if we got into a deeper place in the Lord, would we see more of the valuable, spiritually valuable things? Do you know, in order for the Lord to heal, there's going to be somebody that's going to have to be willing to be sick. And if we're not willing to be sick, the Lord's not going to heal us. And not only that, but the situations that we go through, the afflictions and the problems and the things that the Lord allows to happen in our lives, the Lord takes us, is trying to take us to a place that maybe not only does the Lord want to bring about a healing in somebody else's life, but the Lord wants to bring about healing in our own lives. And one of the things that the Lord also wants to do, the Lord wants to bring back, we don't have healings anymore, so much anymore, do we? We don't have people with the gifts of healing. We don't have gifts. And I'm not just talking about this, because listen, I'm preaching to me. I don't want to condemn you and make you feel bad. Oh, Brother Darrell, it just really made me, I don't want you to do that. Because really what I'm saying is also to me, Lord, help me to get to the place that I'll have the courage to go a little deeper. I'm satisfied sometimes. I'm a little too satisfied where I am. Yes, I'm saved. I'm sanctified. And the Lord is blessing me and all that. But does the Lord want me to go to a deeper place in Him than where I am now? And I've got to be willing to give up everything that I have, everything that I am. I have to be willing to give it up. And sometimes we're not so willing to give it up, are we?
Sometimes we want to hold on to it. Lord, do you realize what it took for me to get to where I am now? I don't want to give it up because if I give it up, it'll take too much for me to regain. The Lord has something better for you and for me. The Lord has something better for us. And the Lord is wanting you and me and all of us to be in a place of courage. Do you realize that when it comes to humility, humility takes courage? It's not just that I'm humbling myself again. It is that, Lord, give me the courage to go a little deeper because there's a place that you're calling me to and I'm not there yet. And part of it is this humility. There's a scripture that says these light afflictions, these problems, these sicknesses, the issues, the persecutions that I go through, these light afflictions are but how long? But for a moment. But what do? They work. They work for us. And so the essence is that these afflictions are doing some work on us and doing some work for us. And the Lord is saying, listen, they're at the door of the place. And when the Lord, of the cave, you might say, it's not just a cave, of the opening of the place that the Lord wants me to go down, there's a place, there's humility, there's afflictions. And the Lord generally takes us through afflictions before we ever go to a place of humility. We've got to be willing to go through afflictions. We've got to be willing to go through offenses. Are people talking about you? Have you ever been offended? Have you ever been talked about? Have you ever been lied on? People say things about you that's not true, and what is the first thing that we want to do? I want to defend myself. That is a natural inclination, isn't it? And it's not necessarily wrong. It's not wrong for me to go and say, listen, Brother Michael, that's not how it is. But you know, sometimes the Lord doesn't allow you to go and deliver yourself from these. He doesn't allow that to happen. What he says is, I don't want you to touch it. Let them think what they want to think for a space of time. And let me tell you, that takes something for us to do that. That takes something for us to say, you know what? They've got it all wrong and I can't straighten it out. But let me tell you, when you find people like that, remember Joseph? Remember Potiphar's wife? What she did, she lied on Joseph, didn't she? But the Lord was taking Joseph to a deeper spiritual place. And if Potiphar had come there and Joseph had said, no, that is not the way that it is. I don't believe Joseph could defend himself. I don't believe the Lord allowed him to defend himself. Who are you going to listen to, your wife or this man? You know how men are. You know how the average man is. We say that. And so Potiphar knew he had an understanding, and Joseph was not in a position to clear his name. He had to bear it. Do you know sometimes the Lord will allow you to bear things that you don't think is fair? And you'll be thrown into a prison for a space of time, but do you know it takes courage for you to stand up and say, you know what? I'm not going to try to defend myself. It really doesn't matter what they think. That takes more than what the average person has. But do you know that there are going to be times in your experience and in my experience that the Lord is going to say, don't touch that, don't do it. I'm working something here. This offense is working for you. It's taking you to a deeper place. And what has to happen when this person that told this falsehood on you, what happens when their name comes up? Or when you think about them, you feel bad and you want to just let them have a piece of your mind or whatever it may be. And the Lord won't let you do that. And so here is the point. What that does is that when you can't have a way to express what you're feeling, who do you express it to? What did the song say that they sang? When they need somebody to talk to, who are you to talk to? You talk to the Lord. And you let the Lord know, Lord, they got it all wrong. Lord, would you avenge me of my adversary? Would you go to my defense? Would you do something about it? And all the while, what is happening, you're digging down and you're getting something from the Lord. You're getting a level of grace that you've never had before. You're getting a level of forgiveness that you've never had before. And it seems like it was impossible for you to get there. And you were asking the Lord, Lord, give me an increase of faith. This is what you ask for. You're mining it. And so the Lord is saying, I'm giving you what you ask for. I'm giving you these treasures. There's another scripture. Let's go to Isaiah, the 45th chapter, and let's start at the first verse, read down to the third verse. Yes. Thus saith the Lord, whose right hand I have holden to subdue nations before him, I will loose the loins. The Lord had a purpose for Cyrus, didn't he? All right. I will loose the loins of kings. I will go before thee and make the crooked places straight. I will break in pieces the gates of brass and cut in sunder the bars of iron. This is what the Lord is telling. It doesn't matter if they put you in prison like they put Joseph. The Lord had a purpose in that. Well, Lord, why would you allow Joseph to go into prison for 13 years or however long he went? And he's innocent. He's complete, and he didn't have anybody to go to his defense and anybody to be his advocate but the Lord. And the Lord says, this is just a holding place for you, Joseph. I don't want you to be here for the rest of your life. This is a holding place for you, and I want you to get the good that I have for you. And in the same way, there are going to be some holding places that the Lord has for you and for me. There are some places that, Lord, this is not right, we say. This is not fair, we say. And the Lord said, Lord, I shouldn't be confined to this. And everybody, they won't let me do this, and they won't let me do that. And they won't let me go there. And the Lord just says, be still and know that I'm God. I've got this. I'm going to take care of you. And I'm going to break the bars of iron. I'm going to break it asunder. I'm going to let you come out of there. But you're not coming out of there until it's my timing for you to come out of there. Lord, help us to be willing to do that. I wouldn't want to go to prison if I was guilty, let alone if I was innocent. It's a horrible place to be, but the Lord has a reason for us, for people being there. For Joseph, anyway. All right, read. And I will give thee, this is what I want us to get a hold of. I will give thee the treasures of darkness and hidden riches of secret places that thou mayest know that I, the Lord, which call thee by thy name, I'm the God of Israel. I'm going to give you the treasures of darkness. Things that other people can't see. We can't see in darkness, can we? We need some kind of a light to be able to see it. But there are treasures there down in the depths, in the darkness of these places that it seems like, Lord, I don't see the value of me being in this trial. I can't go forward. I can't go back. I don't know why I'm going through what I'm going through. We've all been in those kinds of places, haven't we? That we just could not see the benefit of what we're, and we may try to squeeze it out, and we may try to see something, well, I can see this or I can see that, but if we're not careful, we'll get bitter in what the Lord has sent us through these dark places. He said, but there's treasures there. And let me tell you, we, remember when we were children, we didn't like the dark? Let me tell you, we can say, oh, we grew out of it, but let me tell you, there are going to be some places of darkness that we don't want to be. One of the places I don't want to be is somewhere, it's a mile and a half down in the ground. That's a darkness that's different, that I haven't experienced before. It's a darkness where there's no moon, no light, nothing. That would be terrifying, wouldn't it? Remember when the mines caved in? And do you know how much effort they put to get those men out? Do you know what they would probably have had to do is fight back terror? I know I would have. I'm going to be as straight with you as I can. I would have had to fight back terror. Oh, Brother Darrell, you're saved and sanctified. The Lord would have been down there with you. That's a different story when you're down there. Yeah, I know the Lord's going to be down there with me. Don't keep me from being scared. Lord, take away the fear. So in these dark places, there are going to be some dark places in our spiritual experience that seem like they're terrifying. Lord, I don't know what to do. I don't know if I can, I don't know if I can take it anymore. These dark places, Lord. But he said there are treasures down there. Lord, turn on the lights. Help me to see the benefit of what you're allowing to happen in my life. There are treasures for me to mine, to dig out of there and bring up to the surface with me. Let me tell you, we are benefited by those that have gone deep. None of us have gone down there to the coal mines. None of us have dug and brought them back up in carts and whatnot. None of us have done that. But we all benefit from the men that do it. And what I mean by that, these lights, there are, a lot of our electricity is coal generated, isn't it? Because someone went down and mined these places and they brought it back up and now they power the lights that we have. We are here with enjoying these lights because somebody went deep. Somebody had the courage to go deep. Let me tell you something else. We're here enjoying this great salvation Because somebody went deep. Somebody maintained their integrity with the Lord. Somebody realized that, listen, I'm willing to go to these afflictions. I'm willing for them to work for me. I'm willing to go to places that are dark and these afflictions and these trials and these offenses. I'm willing to bear them. And I'm willing to mine and bring up the spiritual good back to you and tell you all about it and let you know that it's okay. The Lord is going to be with you in the midst of your trial. And the reason that they can say that is because they've been there. Well, oh, Brother Daryl or Brother Michael or whoever, it's just so hard. I know it's hard. I know it's difficult. I know it can be terrifying. Lord, help us to have the courage to go a little bit deeper. It's not easy. They went through some things. We're going to go through some things too. If we're going to keep this salvation, if we're going to maintain the truth of God's Word, it's not just the truth of the Church of God, it's the truth of God's Word. And there is a treasure down in the depths of it that if we can just reach down there and grab hold on it and bring it back up to the surface, you know who's going to benefit by it? All of us. Let me tell you, how many of you are not blessed by good, solid, settled saints that have went through some trials and some tests and they can tell you how to do it and they can pray you through? How many of us are not benefit when they went way down and they got exactly what God wanted them to get out of the trial? You didn't hear them complaining. You didn't hear him saying that life's not fair. Life isn't fair. You didn't hear him complaining about it. All you saw is that they went way down as deep as they needed to go and they brought these treasures back up, the treasures of darkness. And what we see is the glittering of the gold. What did Job say? He said, Lord, I went forward and I went backward and went to the side, to one side where I've always seen you. You've not been there. He said, but when you've tried me, this was a deep place, wasn't it? When you've tried me, Lord, I'm not going to complain about it. When you've tried me, I shall come forth as pure gold. He went down there and he got something and he came back up and he's still a blessing to us today and he don't even know our names. But we know his. And we know his name because he went deep and he said, Lord, I'm going to be the gold. When I come out of this place, Lord, I'm going to be pure gold, not just gold. It was a dark place in his life, wasn't he? He lost all of his children. I doubt that any of us have been to such a dark place. And most of us, it doesn't take us to get even halfway that far before we'll start complaining. How many of us haven't complained? Lord help us. But you see, Job, and all this, what did the scripture say? Job did not curse God. He did not do foolishly. He didn't curse God. His wife turned against him. His children died. You know, a lot of time, let me tell you, those men the women are wonderful, aren't they? Wives. The Lord has a wife there. She's a helpmeet to a man. Let me tell you, us men, and I know you can say amen to this, brothers. I know when you got a good wife, you can say amen to the fact that you can almost go through anything if she's standing by you, can't you? It's just you against the world. But if she's right there, you can stand because she's got your back. She's just got her hand right there on your back. And she's saying, you can do it. But here's Job. Everything that he had, he lost it in a matter of moments. And then his wife just got to the point, I can't take it anymore, Job. I can't take it. Curse God and die. And what did he say? You talk like a foolish woman. You talk like, I'm not going to, I've received good at the Lord's hand. Shall I not receive evil? I'm willing to go through this. I'm willing to do whatever it is. Lord, help me to go through it. All of us need to be in a place that when it seems like everybody turns against us, even the people that are closest to us, we can stand and we can say, Lord, give me the courage to stand. Give me the courage to hold my ground. Give me the courage that I need to go a little deeper and to mine and get the treasures in these secret places, down in the depths, in the darkness, and the hidden riches of secret places, places that nobody else knows about. But the Lord wants you and He wants me to go there. He'll lead us there. Thank the Lord. It's a challenge, isn't it? Just a natural fear in a natural sense. I don't think that there would be anybody that would hear that wouldn't have a natural fear that we had to overcome.
All right? Let's talk about someone else. Matthew 12, 39. Let's read that. But he answered and said unto them, an evil and adulterous generation, they look for a sign. But there shall no sign be given unto it, but the sign of the prophet Jonas. For as Jonas was 3 days and three nights in the whale's belly, so shall the Son of Man be 3 days and three nights in the heart of the earth. The men of Nineveh shall rise in judgment with this generation and shall condemn it, because they repented at the preaching of Jonah, and behold, a greater than Jonah is here. Sometimes people want a sign. And sometimes the sign that people want is basically, well, you know what? You know, if y'all had a little bit more pep to your services, that if you had a little bit more, you know, we get this, don't we? If you had a little bit more pep to it, and you were a little bit more this or that, whatever people want to say, they're looking for a sign. But the Lord says, I'm not going to give a sign. Here's the point that we need to understand and make. Once we have been introduced to the truth of God's word, there is a witness that takes place in our heart. I am not here just because this is where I was raised. My life was not going to be a Church of God preacher. That was not my ambition in life. And I've told this before. I say it with some regret in one way, but my mind was not to stay around the Church of God. I was going to be a Christian, but I wasn't going to be this kind of Christian. Because it was too much, I thought. But when the Lord got, I'm here preaching, not because my mother and my father taught me this, but because it was revealed to me. And there was something that the Lord showed me and revealed to me that this is right. And in order for you to get to heaven, you're going to follow this or you're not going to make it. You can go whatever way you want to go. You can do whatever thing you want to do. I'm not going to stop you. You are a free moral agent. You can do whatever it is that you want to do. But if you don't follow this, you're not going to make it. It was a revelation. It was an understanding that the Lord revealed to me. And it's not that I'm doing it out of fear. The Lord won me. I remember Him speaking to me and saying, break up your fallow ground and sow not among thorns. You're sowing your ambition and the things that you're about ready to do and the direction you're about ready to go in. It is not going to lead you to where you think it's going to lead you. And so I began to cry, and that's when I really gave my heart to the Lord. I'd been saved down through the years. I was first year in college at that time. And the Lord began to deal with me and began to show me and give me understanding of what He required of me. So saints, when I preach, when I live this, I am not living just because the old time saints handed it down. I appreciate that. And let me tell you, I am receiving some treasures that I didn't mine. I didn't go down there and dig them up. Some of the old time saints did. And they went deeper than where I am. But let me tell you, no one can go deeper than the Lord wants you to go. So in other words, what I mean by that is, I can go deeper. I can go just as deep as Brother Austis Wilson went. I can go just as deep as you name them. I can go there. Lord, give me the courage to do it. I'm not saying I'm there. I'm not. But let me tell you, I'm on my way. I'm at the place. I'm at the entry point. And I'm going down a little bit. And Lord, help me to go down and come back up. Let me go down again and come back up. So here, He's saying here, you're seeking for a sign, and I'm not going to give you a sign because you're wanting something that I'm not willing to give. You're just going to have to accept it by faith. So He's talking about Himself here, isn't He? But He brings out a point with Jonah. And I think that that's an interesting point. Let us go over to Jonah and start reading in, let's see, I think I want to just start reading in the first verse, first chapter. Let's just start reading the first verse. And bear with me as I try to get a hold of what you have it. Read it, please. Let's read the first verse. Start the first verse.
Now the word of the Lord came unto Jonah, the son of Amittai, saying, arise, go to Nineveh, that great city, and cry against it. The Lord gave him a specific command. I want you to, a directive, go to Nineveh and cry against it. It's a big wicked city. For their wickedness has come up before me, but Jonah arose to flee unto Tarshish from the presence of the Lord, and went down to Joppa, and he found a ship going to Tarshish, so he paid the fare thereof, and went down into it to go with them unto Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. Do you get these words? But the Lord told Jonah one thing, but Jonah did something else. The Lord told Jonah to go in one direction, but Jonah went away from the presence of the Lord. Do you know some of us are like that? We're still saved too. But Lord, I just don't think all of that's required. We're taking our cues from the world. We're taking our cues from nominal Christianity. We're taking our cues from people that have stripped mind. They're just on the surface, and the Lord is saying for us to go a little bit deeper, and we're just not willing to do that because we ultimately don't think that that's necessary. And so, Lord, I believe that I can go to heaven like this, and what's wrong with this? And so we have this argument with the Lord, and the Lord brings about problems and trials in our lives to try to get our attention, and we still don't listen. Lord, help us. All right, read. But now, Jonah did what he did. Now the Lord is saying, but the Lord is not just going to leave you in that state. Isn't that wonderful? The Lord is not just going to leave us where we are. When he knows that there is a deeper place that he wants us to be, and we would be far more satisfied. I am far more satisfied today, I know, than I would be if I'd gone my own way. Oh, my life couldn't be any better. Do I have trials? Do I go through problems? Do I have hard places? Absolutely. But I have the assurance of knowing that it's all worth it and I'm going to make it to heaven when it's all over. And I don't know when it's all going to be over. Maybe sooner than I think. But the Lord sent out a great wind into the sea, and there was a mighty tempest in the sea, so that the ship was like to be broken. The mariners were afraid and cried every man unto his God and cast forth the wares that were in the ship into the sea, to lighten it of them. But Jonah was gone down into the sides of the ship, and he lay and was fast asleep. Do you know that if you go into the New Testament, you find the same thing that Jesus did? So this, in one sense, is a type. The Lord was on he was down in the ship, and they said, Lord, carest thou not that we perish? And the Lord stilled the wind. You know, the Lord has the ability to still the wind in your life, the tempest, the problems. And what did the people do? What did they do when they got into trouble? Who did they go to? They went to the Lord, didn't they? So there are issues and problems in our lives, and the reason, the purpose for them is to take us, and they had to go down in order to get it. A place of humility is a type of humility. They had to go down in the ship and say, Lord, do you care that we perish? Aren't you concerned? And you're fast asleep. And he got up and he spoke to the wind and brought about a calm. All right, now here's the same thing that's happening. So he makes this analogy in Matthew of what's happening in Jonah. All right. So the shipmasters came to him and said unto him, what meanest thou, O sleeper? Arise, call upon thy God, if so be that God will think upon us that we perish not. You know, some of us are asleep when there is so much peril around us. Lord, help us. And they said, everyone to his fellow, come and let us cast lots, that we may know for whose cause this evil is upon us. So they cast lots, and the lot fell upon Jonah. Then said they unto him, tell us, we pray thee, for whose cause this evil is upon us. What is thine occupation? And whence comest thou? And what is thy country? They want to know everything that there is about you. What happened that caused this? Who are you? What is the problem with you? What is the situation? What's going on with you? Because all of this has come upon us, and it's not fair to us. Do you realize that sometimes we can bring up on, because of our actions, we can bring up on tempests and problems on other people? Just think about children. Children that have, their parents have problems with their children. It's not just your life, and you can live it the way you want to. Somebody else is being affected by what you're doing. For what you're getting yourself into, somebody else is being affected, and a lot of people are being affected by what you do. So don't think that you live unto yourself. No man liveth unto himself, and no man dieth unto himself. Whatever you're doing is affecting more than just you. If you're living right, it's affecting more than just you. If you're living wrong, it's just, well, I'm just kind of keep to myself, and I don't do anything. But let me tell you, everybody isn't keeping to themselves, and you aren't either. It's affecting somebody in a negative way if you're not living right, if you're not doing what the Lord wants you to do. All right, so here he says, so they wanted to know everything about him. He said unto them, I'm a Hebrew. I fear the Lord, the God of heaven. Not just any God, but the God of heaven, which has made the sea. And he started preaching. He started preaching right here. He started humbling himself, and he said, you know what? I'm the man. I'm the one that's wrong. I'm the one that's brought this upon you. And let me tell you, any time we start doing that, when we start acknowledging that I have something to do with what's going on, the turmoil in other people's life, the Lord, that you're at a place that the Lord can get you the help that you need. You're at some place that you're about ready to mine something and get something up out and dig something up out of that when you acknowledge that I'm the problem. Lord, help us. All right? Then were the men exceeding afraid, and they said unto him, why did you do this? For the men knew that he fled from the presence of the Lord. He told them everything. He just made a confession because he told them. He made a confession to them. I'm sorry. I'm the one that did it. And now they are afraid. We don't know what to do. This is a man of God. This is a man that fled from the... What do we do now? Folks that don't even know them have been affected by what Jonah did. They threw away all of the stuff. This was a merchant ship. They threw all of the stuff that they were going to sell on the other side just to save their lives. Now you see folks that are waiting on that ship. Jonah affected them in a negative way. Now, he said, and then they said unto him, what shall we do with thee? We don't know what to do. We don't know what to do. That the sea may be calm unto us, for the sea wrought and was tempestuous. And he said unto them, take me up and cast me forth into the sea, so shall the sea be calm unto you. For I know that for my sake this great tempest is upon you. One of the things that the Lord wants us to do, sometimes we're trying to hide things, aren't we? And sometimes the greatest thing is for us to be exposed and to be embarrassed. Here is what he said. You know, I'm the problem here. If you'll just pick me up, and why didn't he jump? If he knew that, but you know, there's a good reason that he didn't jump. The Lord made the analogy that they're looking for a sign, but there shall no sign be given except the sign of Jonah, the prophet. He was in the belly of the whale for 3 days, and he said, in essence, that the Son of Man is going to be in the belly of the earth for 3 days and three nights. And so did Jesus. Jonah here, as a type of the Lord, is offering himself as a sacrifice. But yet there has to be someone else that literally takes his life. Now, we, from a historical standpoint, know that Jonah was going to be swallowed by a fish. Jonah did not know that. And so Jonah thought that he would, Lord, I did wrong, and I've submitted myself to you, and I'm willing to die because I did wrong, and I've affected all these lives. Lord, stop it here. I'm sorry, and I repent in sackcloth, and I repent, Lord, for what I did. And so they picked him up. They said, you said, do it. You're the Lord. And what didn't they pray? Didn't they pray before they did it? They said, oh, Lord, we beseech thee, let us not perish for this man's life, and lay not upon us innocent blood, for thou, O Lord, hast done as it has pleased thee. You are the one that caused this tempest, Lord. You're the one that caused this turmoil because of his disobedience. Now, Lord, all we're doing is what we know to do. So we're going to pick him up, we're going to throw him overboard, and we're going to see if it works. We're going to trust that it works. And this is what happened. And what did Jonah do? Jonah went down, and Jonah no doubt thought that he was going to die. But what did he do? He was swallowed by a fish. The Lord had prepared a fish for Jonah. And what did that fish do? That fish took him. And I think in my mind, that fish took him to the lowest parts of the world. You can't go any lower than what Jonah went. There are places in the ocean that are much deeper than man has ever explored. And I wonder if the Lord did not take Jonah all the way down to the bottom of the sea. And let me tell you, you think about darkness, You think about those men that are going down into a mine. This goes much, much deeper than any mine. I think the deepest mine is about 2 miles down into the earth. The deepest place in the sea, I think, is about 7 miles or so down. So if you took Mount Everest and you put Mount Everest in the deepest place in the sea, it would still be at least a mile of water above it. Now, I wonder if Jonah went that deep. In my mind, he did. And let me tell you, you think that those men down in those mines were afraid and terrified. I don't know any greater terror than what Jonah probably went through. And let me tell you, he was praying. He didn't have a lamp. He couldn't see. He couldn't see his hands in front of his face. And he prayed, and he prayed for 3 days. You suppose he was down there sleeping? I don't think he slept. How could you sleep? I think that man prayed for 3 days and 3 nights and begged the Lord everything that he'd ever done, everything that he'd ever held back. Lord, I'm willing to do anything if you'll just get me out of here. You rescued me, and I wasn't expecting this. I thought I'd be dead by now. In one sense, maybe he wished he had been. Just make it quick. Probably when they threw him in the water, Lord, just make it quick. I know I can't swim to shore, so make it quick. And the Lord says, no, I'm not going to make it quick. You're going to be here for 3 days and 3 nights. But let me tell you, when he came up out of there, what did he have? What he had was something that I wish I had. Everybody he preached to got saved. Everybody. He went straight to do what the Lord told him to do. And what is it? It's an example for us, isn't it? That if I die enough, if I get down to a greater depth, if I go deeper in the things of the Lord, then the gospel, and it really is the gospel message, because everybody that Jesus Christ can preach to, this gospel can save man, woman, boy, girl, rich, poor. No matter who it is. And what happened in Nineveh? When you went to Nineveh, what happened? Everybody got saved, from the king all the way down. And how did they do it? Through a place of humility, didn't they? Everybody had to do it the same way. It wasn't that the king on his throne and says, come here, I want you to pray for me. I'm not going to get on my knees. He didn't say that. He had to humble himself as well, didn't he? And anyone that humbles themselves, and let me tell you, the anointing that was in that preaching, Lord, have mercy on us. Let me tell you, if we're going to have anointed preaching, we're going to have anointed lives. We're going to have to go through the trials and the testings and the problems and the areas in our lives that seem like they're in turmoil. The Lord is trying to get something over to us, and so that we can go down here, mine it, and come back and say, here, this is what the Lord's shown me. This is what the Lord's given me. And it's not something, and not only did the Lord give it to me, but the Lord wants to give it to you as well. Let me tell you, I say this oftentimes when I preach, there is nothing special about a preacher. The only thing that's different about a preacher than any saint is that they have a gift to stand and expound the Word of God before others. But there is no monopoly on being spiritual to the preachers, that the preachers have to be the most spiritual ones in the congregation. It's good if they are, as an example, but it doesn't have to be. Nothing special about us. Nothing says that I've got to go down here and get this, the treasures, the hidden treasures and secret places, and you can't have it. You can have as much as, and you can be an inspiration to me. Lord, help us. All right. Romans, I'm trying to bring this to an end. Romans 11:33. And someone, oh, the depth. Oh, the depth. How deep is it? Of the riches, both of the wisdom and the knowledge of God. Do you want to know the wisdom of God? Someone give me Colossians 2:2. How unsearchable are his judgments, and his ways are past finding out. Lord, how the depths of the riches. There's more. There's more to this than what we have experienced, saints. There's more to it. Help us, Lord, give us the courage to experience more, all right? Colossians 2:2. Yes. Being knit together in love, full assurance of understanding, mystery of God. Is that through the third verse? In whom are hid all treasures. So what are we going deeper in, saints? What are we going deeper in? Is it just in the trials and the tests? It's deeper in God. Lord, help me to go deeper. Help me to get these treasures in these hidden places, Lord, that I don't know about, that maybe I haven't experienced before, but Lord, from this day forward, help me to do something greater than what I've ever done before. And it's not that we're seeking for greatness. What we're saying is that there's more that God has for you. And there's more that God has for me. All right, Ephesians 3 and 8. 18. Ephesians 3 and 18. I want to be able to comprehend with all saints what is the breadth, length, and depth, and height to know the love of Christ. You know what? Let me tell you something. The love of Christ past knowledge. You know what? Everybody wants somebody to love them, don't they? I don't care who you are. You can have this strong facade. You don't care what people think about you. No, we know better than that. We're human too. You want to be loved. All of us want to be loved. And you know what? There are some times that we don't know how to allow ourselves to be loved, do we? There are people that have come through some things, gone through some very hard places in their experience, and they put up these strongholds, and they don't know how to release and to receive the love of other people. And do you know that sometimes the Lord wants you to understand that He wants you to know His love. When you have no one else to love you, when no one else understands, the Lord understands. And if you can get a hold of His love and you can know the love of Christ, if you can know that, it's deep. We sing that song, the love of God is greater far than tongue or pen can ever tell. It goes beyond the highest star and reaches to the lowest. The Lord loves you. And if we can get a hold of that, we won't be afraid of going a little bit deeper in the Lord. Psalms 42 and 2. 42 and 7, I'm sorry. Psalms 42 and 7, we're moving toward our conclusion. Deep calleth unto deep. The noise of thy waterspout. All right. Deep calleth unto deep. So you have an understanding. When there's something that witnesses in your spirit, that there is that person, the Lord is taking them, not just has taken them, but is taking them to a deeper place. And then there's something in your spirit that says, Lord, I want to go. I want to go. I want to go a little deeper. I want to have a little bit more of the grace of God. I want to know a little bit more of the love of God. I want to have more of the knowledge of God. Lord, I want to go there. It's not just for the old time saints. It's not just for the preachers. It's not just for those that are in leadership positions in the church. It's for every one of us. Deep is calling unto deep. So when you hear a message like this, what it is saying, Lord, take me there. Give me the courage to go just a little bit lower. When I see these things that are happening in my life, when I see these places in my life, Lord, help me to be willing to allow these afflictions to work for my good. Help me to be willing for me to go a little bit deeper in the things of God and bring up something that somebody can use to the glory of God. Help me to do it. One thing that I've learned, one thing that I have learned and I'm still learning, to go to a deeper place, it takes a courageous person. So when we're praying that the Lord would bless us, we're asking the Lord, Lord, give me courage. Give me courage to do it. Give me a greater desire to do it. And as I say, this message is not just a message that I feel is one that I've got all the, I'm everywhere that the Lord wants me to be, that everywhere that I'm going to be. I endeavor to live where the Lord wants me to be, but there's a deeper place for me. And so this is not a message that I preach to you, it's a message that I preach to us. The things that the Lord showed me to give to you is the things that the Lord is dealing with me about. So I'm in the process, and I want to go a little deeper. And I'm understanding more than I ever have understood that it takes courage. If I'm going to be sick, you know it takes courage to be sick because you don't know if you're going to die. It takes courage. When the Lord has taken us to those kinds of places, it takes courage to be offended and be willing to not defend your name, to be willing to forgive, to go down into a place and mind the forgiveness. Lord, there's a place of forgiveness that I've got to get to. I've been to places in my own experience that I thought I had forgiven a person, but I didn't. I forgave them in my head, but I hadn't forgiven them in my heart. It hadn't reached that far. And I had to go down and down and dig and dig and dig, and it took me some time. Lord, I'm willing to forgive. A place of humility, it takes courage to get there. A place of forgiveness, of true forgiveness, it takes courage to get there. But let me tell you, there's no better place. There's no better place than a little bit deeper. Lord, place of afflictions, the things that the Lord wants us to get out of that, the things that the Lord wants us to pull out of those places, it takes courage to get there. It takes courage to go there in the first place. So if the Lord's calling you to a place of humility, realize it's not easy. It's not, oh, Brother Darrell, it's just easy for me to just humble my heart. I just humble my heart before them. And everything just worked out just like it was supposed to. That's not how it happens. That's not how it worked. At least it doesn't work like that for me. It took me some time to go down and pray. Lord, I've got to get to this place, and I'm not there yet. May the Lord help us. Pray for me.